Galatians chapter 6, we're coming to the end of studying the book of Galatians. A few more messages here. Galatians chapter 6, we're going to pick up from verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10. The word of God says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening grateful for your word. We ask you, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts, that we would understand what you say to us in your word, that we would not only understand it, but that we would apply it. Lord, that you would work in our hearts even as we ponder our life, how we're doing in light of this text. Pray that there would be confession of sin, that there would be trust in Christ, that we would not try to turn back to legalism and trying to earn our way with you by thinking that we could somehow do good enough works to please you. But I pray that we would, in humility of mind, live and walk by the Spirit, even as this word says, Lord. Thank you so much for your word, Lord. Would you teach us tonight? Help me as well. In Christ's name, amen. Well, tonight we're looking at the Spirit-led perseverance in doing good. And this text is obviously tied into what we studied before, and at some point I'll actually read so you can see the context of where it's written. But it's talking about the sowing and reaping, the whole context of that. We're talking about how you apply the Word of God, the fruit that you show. And this evening, I brought a little fruit. Can anybody guess what this is? A little tomato, yes. Praise the Lord, we got fruit already. And if you know, Scott and Penny, our dear beloved saints who go here, they have given us some plants. And so there was time when they gave me those plants last year. Now, we didn't water them, we didn't put any efforts, and we didn't have any fruit. This year, my wife actually is the one who's been faithfully watering, and when we were away, she's been asking our neighbors to water the plants, and with some efforts, now we actually could finally taste the fruit and enjoy the fruit, and I'm hoping to actually enjoy this after the service, unless my children will get to it first. But it's great to see how it works in this world, that you put some effort, and obviously the plant was given to me for free, so it's that idea of salvation, not coming to us for free. But then, as you work out your salvation, as you grow, you see the fruit that you could actually taste. And have you ever considered that every one of you is a farmer? Now, I know you might be thinking, I'm living in the capital city, Sacramento. I'm no farmer boy. None of you might be thinking that. But in a spiritual sense, every single person is sowing. We're all sowing. We're all going to be reaping. So in that sense, we are like farmers. You are sowing. Now, in the context of Galatians, I just want to catch you up. Some of you here haven't been with us for a while, but Paul's been talking in chapter 1 and chapter 2. He was defending the gospel. He was showing us that the gospel came from God. And then chapters 3 and 4, Paul showed us that this gospel is all about God's grace. He explains the gospel. And then finally, chapters 5 and 6, he then applies the gospel to your life. How do you live out? So in other sense, first two chapters are about the defense of the gospel. Chapters 3 and 4, how we have the freedom from legalism in the gospel. That's mainly what he's talking about. Now chapters 5 and 6, the application, the freedom to love and serve one another, how the gospel now produces the fruit. The gospel, when it changes, transforms our lives, there's going to be fruit in our lives. We are justified, sanctified, and glorified all by God's grace through the faith in the finished work of Christ. We are saved by good works, not by our good works, but by good works of Christ, what he has accomplished on our behalf. But then the purpose for us, in order, we are saved in order to produce good works. So we are not saved by our own works. Don't tell me I said that. But we are saved for good works. As Ephesians 2:8 says, for we've been saved by grace through faith. not a result of work, so that no one would boast. And then it says, that we are his workmanship, created for Christ Jesus, for good works, so that we would be producing good works. And so this is the idea here as well. We're saved by God's grace. Now we're saved for good works. Imagine if there's a plant that you have, and the goal for that plant is to produce fruit, but it's not producing anything year after year. What would you do with that plant? You would say, no, we got to replace. We got to get a tree that produces fruit. This is the idea here. Now, since we are saved by grace, we are often afraid of speaking of good works, because again, even when you're talking to, especially when you're talking to unbelievers, you never want to come across as though we're saved by good works. You don't want to come across as someone who tells him that, yes, just like Catholics or other religions believe that you need to climb this ladder in order to earn your way with God. So Paul, this whole Galatian, in all these chapters, he's been dealing with this, that we're saved by grace alone. There's no works involved. But then now he's coming to application. How do you live out this gospel? Now he's dealing with how do you live out these good works that God prepared beforehand for you to walk in. So Paul knew that once we are saved by grace, that the same grace that saved us will also enable us to produce good works for his glory. And it is by the Holy Spirit, this whole section here, Paul has been dealing, saying that it is only when you walk by the Spirit, it's only when you're led by the Spirit, when you're controlled by the Spirit, that's when those good fruits will start springing up. It's not by your own efforts. So again, don't get the wrong idea. I know some illustrations can kind of hint on that as well. And I'm not saying that. Paul is saying here that the grace of God that saves us will produce the good work. God and us working together in that sense. Now, all of us at some point or another get really tired. Isn't that true? We get really weary and just exhausted. All of us maybe even get tired of walking by faith, day by day, looking to God and looking to Christ. That's why there are so many other churches that they try to put on a show, something that you could actually see with your eyes. They can say, oh, wow, I experienced this amazing thing. And then they go, well, that's not... See, if Paul really wanted to show some miracles, in Galatians chapter 5 and 6 would be the place where Paul would insert, there's these awesome and amazing, you know, miracles of God that you need to see and behold, and that's what's going to transform you. No, Paul is actually saying, no, it's all about just serving your brother and sister. It's about being humble, loving to one another, considering yourself as nothing compared to others. And that's where the grace of God works. This is what truly is a miracle for people to actually act like that in love, God's kind of love. But all of us get tired. We all get tired because of the world, because of Satan, your own flesh, the devil. Everything is fighting against us. Everything is always pushing back against living by faith. And the world says it's all about you, actually. The world is pursuing hard. And almost every movie, everything is sort of centered to show how great you are. And God's will tells us to live for others. The world tells us to live for me, myself, and I. That's what the world says. And that's the battle, fighting to walk by the Spirit as Christians, as believers, those who receive God's grace to continue to live and walk by the Spirit. And like Galatian church, we often can grow weary and lose heart. Do you remember Galatian churches, all these churches that in Galatian region, many people were even moving away from the hope of the gospel, away from the gospel into false teaching. Paul in chapter 1 said, I'm astonished how quickly you deserted him who called you to live in the grace of Christ, how now you're actually leaving that and going elsewhere. We can become skeptical, pessimistic about our faith, thinking, how is this going to really benefit me or other ways? And there is an ever-present danger. Often when we don't see any result, we want to give up. We want to just surrender and say, maybe it's not really worth it all. recently, I'm sure many of you are aware how it's been increasing. Maybe it's because of it's been more and more happening in well-known communities. But there's been a lot of even Christian great leaders who were there, very, very influential, you might say, and written a lot of books. But now you've been hearing how they have made shipwreck of their faith, and they're just dropping like flies. Here it goes one, the other one. And you might ask me, how is that possible that the person who was preaching Christ, declaring the gospel, were so faithful, you might even say, from the sidelines? And what's going on? Well, this passage actually deals with that as well. They grew weary. Our culture portrays that whole mentality as totally fine, right? The divorce rates are going up. A recent famous couple divorced, and listen to their thinking. This is what they say. I found this very interesting. They have decided, one of the articles, that this is what's best while they both focus on themselves and their careers. So in their minds, it's all about me. What's best for me? What's best for my career? And that's has come into the church as well. And people, that's how people are choosing churches. What is best for me? What can I find that fulfills me? It's all about me. And if we're not careful, this promotion, selfish promotion of self, it just reveals the heart, the self-righteous heart, the heart that is the problem. So our hearts must be transformed in order for us to persevere in doing good. Our hearts need to be changed. And if you're here this evening and God has not done that work in your life yet, you could just come to Christ. You could trust in Him. And again, this doesn't have to be a great miracle or some experience that you have, but it is you simply humbling before God, before His Word, realizing that the grace of God has come, the Holy God who created you for His glory. And though you have sinned and fallen short of that glory, He has provided a way for your sin to be covered up, to be taken away as far as the east is from the west. Christ died on the cross, rose again. And so therefore, now you could be justified. You could stand in the grace of God and continue walking in the grace of God by the Holy Spirit's power. So here we see in this passage, the main thing is that we must persist in doing good. This passage teaches us that we must persist in doing good. And again, I want to just encourage you. I know that our body has been doing well in that, and I just want to encourage you to persevere, to continue in that. I've been blessed by so many of you that, you know, how you continue to pour, and I see how you pour into one another and you know, effort and time and sacrifices, and that's been a blessing to see in this body. But I just want to continue to encourage you in that. So we must persist in doing good because we have been given the Spirit of God, since it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. We must be persistent in doing good. Fight for this goal, brother and sister. And by doing good, I mean helping others, being helpful, especially those who are believers, as this text says. This is the law of Christ, to bear one another's burdens, to love in this way. In Galatians 6, 9 through 10, God, through the Apostle Paul, exhorts us not to lose heart in doing good to others. So in our passage, the preacher points our attention in two directions that reveal, number one, the danger, and number two, the opportunities that we have. So we're going to look at both of those things. So number one, let's first look at the danger. What is the danger? Paul says here, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. What is the danger in this text? Well, maybe you're thinking, maybe you came this evening with the thoughts in your mind, is this really worth it? It's hard work. I've been seeing how, you know, people are just living how they want and seems like they're being successful, and I'm here suffering and I'm going through trials, and is this all worth it? Should I just continue? Paul is saying here, listen, the harvest is coming. It's promised, so let us not grow weary of well-doing. Let's persevere, for in due season, in due time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So in view of that, we are exhorted to be persistent in a lifestyle of helping others. Again, it is a lifestyle. It's not just this moment where you just, oh yeah, I did that once a week there, and then you just do whatever you want for yourself. No, it's a lifestyle. It's at home. It's everywhere that In other words, be Christ-like in your actions. That's the call. Walk by the Spirit and you will be producing the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruit of the Spirit, if you remember, is goodness. That's this word, doing good to others, helping others. That's the same goodness. Is you just take away the nest and you get the good. So you're doing good towards others. Notice we're called to this well-doing, not necessarily doing well. We often like to think about ourselves. Am I doing well? Or someone asks you, how are you doing? I'm doing well. But how are you doing? That's the goal, that you would be actually thinking about others, the well-doing towards others. And obviously, someone will think of you as well. But that the idea of for you to put a lot of effort making sure they're doing well, making sure they're growing in Christ. Also, it's not just doing things for anything, just doing good in anything. It's for the glory of God. There's a priority for the glory of God that we must do it. No, notice in verse 9, Paul says, let us not become weary of doing good. What does he mean, not to grow weary? When you think about that phrase, to grow tired or exhausted. All of us as Christians, we often feel physically, emotionally drained, weary. And that is normal. We live in this world that we all get tired. We all get wearisome. And so for refreshments, we obviously have to go to the Lord. Even as Tim preached in Isaiah 40, verse 31, God has to refresh our souls, renew our strength. And he's the one who ultimately can refresh us. But obviously also, it is totally right for us to get a vacation, you know, and get a good night's sleep. It's good to think about even the Sabbath, of the day of the Sabbath that God prescribed for all of us to get rest. In God's goodness, he gave us that. But the idea here is that we should not grow weary of the works of the Lord. Not to succumb to the snare of the devil or the flesh or the world, to persist in sin, to stop doing good, but to give up and go ahead and just continue in your sin, continue living in your selfish way. That's the idea here. Don't stop, because Paul in this whole context been dealing with this whole idea of works of the flesh, works of the Spirit. So this is the idea that the stillness in this text. Don't persist in sin. Don't let go and let sin reign in your body. The opposite of good is evil. And so therefore, don't continue in your evil works, but rather repent from those and yield to the Spirit. So yielding to the Spirit means that you are going to be exhibiting the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when those things are domineering in your life, this is what actually means that doing good, you're actually going to be blessing others. You're going to be patient when wrong, when there's going to be things happening in your life that are good fruit, that the Lord will be glorified. Paul says here that he labored in the Bible, that he fought to the point of exhaustion to present believers mature in Christ. This is how Paul served. He wasn't ashamed of even sharing that. Yes, I'm exhausted. Sometimes I'm drained. I don't have any more strength, but I continue for the goal because, well, this life is short, and therefore I'm going to give up all that I am in order to glorify Christ who saved me and live for him. Discipleship requires energy, time, and hard work. It might be not joyful at times, but at the end, it will be a great blessing. It will produce joy both to yourself and to others, for God's glory. Now, the context I want us to read, sowing and reaping, verses 6 through 8 in chapter 6. Notice here it says, one who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. So do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So Paul was talking about reaping and sowing, and the idea of don't give up in that. So Paul continues to talk about that whole same idea. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. See that same idea of reaping. Continue sowing to the Spirit. Continue to walking by the Spirit of God. Now, every one of us often finds discouragement. But God, through the Apostle Paul, is telling us, keep going, keep persevering, keep sowing, continue loving one another, continue fighting your sin, resisting bickering and causing division, continue to reject false teachers and teachings, and watch, bear the burdens of others. Continue persevering in that. Keep preaching the gospel to one another and to those around you. And watch God do the work in and through you. In the end, the harvest is worth it. Just like I was talking about the tomatoes, it's going to be that fruit that you're going to be able to enjoy, Lord willing. So it takes effort. Nothing grows without you putting work into it, except weeds. We all know that. And you don't want weeds in your life, so therefore you must be continually walking close to God and continue to repenting from your sins, putting your faith in Christ, continue looking to the goal of glorifying His name. Now you might ask, what will help a man, what will help a woman to keep on doing the good in the face of no result? Because this passage kind of has that sense of, let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, right, we will reap. So that what will help a man or a woman in persevering who does not see good fruit in a long, long time? Everyone says that if it doesn't work, you need to stop that. Do something else. We want immediate results. Our world, almost everything in our society is telling us this, that you must get instant gratification. You must get it now. We have instant coffee, instant microwaves, instant everything. Everything is shouting at you. You could don't go the long route. Just go the easy way. And it's hard to keep going when you don't see the immediate results. This is very true. For example, you might be growing in your family, and you might be seeing the discipline and instruction of the Lord is really hard, and maybe you might be feeling like giving up. Excuse me. It seems like you're pouring into your kids, but the opposite happens, and they're just rebelling. They're not listening to you. Listen, God's word says, keep going, keep persevering, keep sowing, train up a child in the discipline of the Lord. Pray for them and persevere in that. God will bless your efforts as you continue in that, and He is sovereign, obviously, over everyone's salvation, and you need to give it to Him, trusting Him. But again, pour into that, and don't just give up and say, "I'm done. I'm going to walk away from this. This is not worth it." No, continue persevering. Be persistent in that. Maybe your wife or your husband is slipping the wrong way. Keep fighting for your marriage. Keep fighting for staying together and glorifying God together. That's something that just worth it to persevere and to finish well. So keep fighting for your marriages. Keep fighting in prayer and labors for the goal of glorifying Him through your union. By the way, praise God. Yesterday we had a great marriage started. So need to be praying for a couple, Tyler and Katie, who are off to Hawaii, I believe. Well, eventually, there will be victory. This text shows us, in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. There will be victory. Also, you have to be careful not to assume that you're going to reap all that you want. See, God is sovereign, even as we heard this morning, when and how much, what you will reap. So leave that up to God. God is going to be in control of that. But we need to understand, we need to not get tired of pressing on. I need this encouragement. You need this encouragement. There'll be a time when you just get so tired and weary, people will laugh at you. Maybe people will mock you and tell you all sorts of things, criticize you, maybe false things about you because it offends them, because you continue to walk with the Lord. You continue to do the long route, in a sense, and you're not just turning to whatever you want to do. But you need this encouragement to continue running the race, suffering for Christ. Continue to look to Christ, to sow to the Spirit. Keep watering and you will see the fruit. The promise is guaranteed. I love how it says, you will reap if you do not give up. So there's that if you do not give up. The promise is guaranteed, not in our time, but God's. Just like Christ, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, we must also live our life in the same pattern. So, brothers and sisters, don't faint. Don't lose heart. Don't get discouraged in this race. Don't despair. Don't quit. Don't be a quitter. Instead, continue. Keep on keeping on, as it says. We should keep preaching the word both to ourselves and to others. We should keep supporting the gospel ministry. We should continue being in the word, in prayer, continue to encouraging one another. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, therefore, since we have this ministry through the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. And 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It is worth it. As I was studying, came across some examples. Think about some missionaries. A missionary by the name of William Carey. If you heard about his ministry, his life, in one sense, you might be thinking, how in the world was he able to endure? Think about this. 7 years of gospel ministry, and he learned the language, he's proclaiming the gospel, he's serving in India. And then after the 7 years, that's when he baptized his first convert. How did he not get weary and just say, I'm going back, I'm done with this? Well, if you read any of his biographies, or if you just even go and read some of the summaries, with articles and things like that, you just see that he was trusting, he was putting his hope in the word of God, that God's word does not come back void. So therefore, he was laboring, he was doing the work of the Lord, trusting and leaning on God. And again, he had so many trials in his life with his wife's death and illnesses and so many others. And he was continuing persevering. Well, maybe for you this evening, maybe you've been lacking in your reading, praying, maybe giving, serving others, bearing burdens. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know if I should continue in that. It's not that. It doesn't benefit me that much, or it's hard work. Well, listen, you need to go back to this word and be encouraged not to grow weary of doing good. The God of the Bible telling you, do not grow weary, for in due season you will reap. So here we see that, run to Christ, be refreshed, get a good night's sleep if you need to, and keep going for the goal of bringing glory to God. Let us not be weary. Now, how can this be possible in the world in which we live? So when we look to the promise of the reward, when we continue to put our eyes on the reward, that's where we receive, that's when we get the right perspective. When we're not just living for here and now, but we're looking for the goal that one day will come. And again, that idea of reaping, have in mind that it might come, you know, we never know when it comes. With the world, we know that if you plant something in the spring, you get something in the end of summer, fall. In God's kindness, it could be the next day, it could be in many years, it could be after you pass away, and then there's going to be results. So again, God works in mysterious ways. We never can put him in a box how he's going to do it, but we just look to the reward, knowing that God will bring about what he desires. And again, it's leaning on God's strength. God's strength is available for all of us. God's strength for every task, every trial, for every day. As 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, his grace is sufficient for you, brother and sister. So you must look to him for grace. Harvest time is coming. So that's the first point. Then the second point, let's look at the opportunities. Let us look at opportunities that we have. Verse 10 says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So here we see the opportunities that we have right now. All of us, we live among so many opportunities. We're exhorted here to help all people, but especially believers. The lifestyle of well-doing was evidenced in Jesus Christ. If you remember, Christ would be healing not only the believers. No, he would be healing all kinds of people. All people, whether they're saved or unsaved, he fed both kinds of people. So he was helping all people, and that's the exhortation for us as well, to be helpful. And obviously, you can't just help every single person in the world. But for the people that are around you, the people that you meet, the people that you cross paths with, those are the people that the text is saying that you must be helpful and that you must be willing to do good to them. Here we see a call to action. So do you consider yourself as someone who doesn't have a responsibility towards others? Or do you take opportunities that you find that rise up before you? Notice everyone, and then especially to those of faith. I love that. Especially to those of the household of faith, those believers, the people of God, because this is where God has put us together to love and to serve one another, to really portray the awesome privilege it is to be in God's kingdom, to be part of His people. And so we should love each other, outlove each other, and all the more. There's many opportunities. We could start with the children's ministry and go up the line where you could serve. Many of you maybe even have desires to serve. Maybe you're not sure. Talk to one of the elders, maybe people that you find in different ministries. Just talk to them. Ask them around. There's great opportunities everywhere in the body to serve, to love, and to do good. As you have opportunities, you have time. Again, you just have to be thoughtful. You have to look for opportunities, because obviously if you're just all about yourself, then opportunities just go by. And again, you could never gain them back. Once the opportunity has left, it's not like you could come back and then do it again. So we need to be careful, because there are people who so outreach focused that they minimize those who are of the household of faith. But we should do both, especially looking out for opportunities to do good to those who are brothers and sisters. About our own family, how do you treat one another here? Now, the unbelieving world, think about this. They're watching us. And people, when they come in and they sit here with us, they see how we treat one another. And that's a great witness to them, for them to see, what does it mean to be in the fellowship with God and with one another? What does it mean to have this kind of unity that doesn't make sense? People from other cultures, other nations, tribes, people groups, and they're now living and doing life together as a family. Here we learn that Christian life is about people. Again, it's not about necessarily programs, meetings, ministry, although all those things could be helpful to do ministries, but it's most importantly just speaking to one another in love and just serving one another. It's about having that interactions with one another. It's about people, bringing the word to them and comforting them and praying with them and for them. So, brothers and sisters, are you growing weary in doing good? See, we must understand that God in His word, in His plan, yes, He even prescribed us, yeah, maybe if you're growing weary, you need to take some rest. You need to, again, take a break. Jesus even scheduled time of rest to His disciples. He even would tell them, let us go out, because, yeah, we just can't go on. We need to take some time to get some breathing and get some rest. So it's okay to get rest, but then do you continue persevering, continue jumping back in to continue doing the ministry that the Lord has put before you? And again, there's another danger where you could overcommit, and you might be thinking, I need to do every single ministry in the church, and you're just serving, and that might be not as wise. You might be thinking, well, God has put in before me all these things, and I need to do all of them. So you're becoming so as though God is not sovereign, as though He's not going to be able to oversee everything and take care of things. No, we understand that God is in charge of it all. So you must just decide what you're going to do and look for maybe opportunities that rise up on individual basis. But there's, you know, just be wise, be discerning how what you choose for, because obviously all of us have ministry starting with our families and on as well. So then we also must understand, ultimately, we should look and persevere, even as this text is saying to us, in walking by the Spirit as we're doing this. Because if you try to do this by yourself, if you try to do this by your own works, by keeping on looking to yourself for strength, you will fail. You will be really tired and wearisome. And this is where we need to, again, look at the whole context where Apostle Paul has been talking about that when you walk by the Spirit, when you live by the Spirit, you will see those fruits. They will be produced in your life. And so therefore, that's your goal, to continue to be pouring into God's Word, continue to be renewed day by day. And that is what's going to help you to grow and help you to become this kind of a person that God could really use. God is going to be able to move in and through you and serving others in His strength. And so with all of this in mind, let us, again, be encouraged not to grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, what should we do when we fail in well-doing? What should be our response when we, all of us, will have this, when we fail in well-doing, when we stumble, when we fall? Well, the Bible always prescribes to us, right? If you have fallen, what? You need to confess your sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Therefore, get back on your feet and keep persevering, keep killing sin, keep walking with Christ, looking to Him, to His strength, to His grace. But again, the strength and your restoration, because all of us are still in the flesh, all of us are still sinners, we will have times that we falter, that we fail, and therefore we need an encouragement to look back to the cross of Christ, even as we're going to celebrate tonight through communion. Remember what He has done for us and when He died on the cross for our sins, that He died not just for our sins when before we got saved, now we are kind of on our own trying to earn our way with God. No. He died for our past sins, our present, and our future sins. So therefore, you're fully covered. Just go back to God, be restored, receive that forgiveness once again, and walk with Him, fellowship with Him, and again, fellowship with one another, do good to others. So brothers and sisters, let us persist. We must endure in well-doing. That is the call for all of us as God's children. Let us pray. Oh Father, we thank You so much for Your word that I don't know where anyone here is, and when they walk through those doors, Lord, you see everyone, you know where each person is, Lord, but I just pray that You would help us see the importance of us remembering what You have done for us through the gospel, through the book of Galatians as we've been studying, and then as we've been transformed by Your grace, that we would continue to walk in a way that pleases You, that we would remember that our flesh is weak and that we need to rely on Your Spirit, that we cannot do this by ourselves. Father, would You please help us and teach us to lean on Your grace day by day, that we would be vessels that are able to be used by You in this world, bring You much glory. Help us all, Lord, to, even as we celebrate communion tonight, to again be renewed, just remember what Christ has done for us, to again have this fellowship with You, that we would, if there's any sin that anyone's harboring, that they would be letting go of the sin, that they would be repenting of everything that stands in the way, and that we would be, as a church, having this communion, union together, partaking and remembering Christ, and then even after the service, just continue searching for those opportunities where we could do good to others, which You have told us in Your word. So thank You so much for tonight, Lord. Thank You so much for Your word. Help us to take these things seriously. For anyone here tonight who does not yet know You, Lord, I just pray that You would that You would save them, Lord, that You would get a hold of them and help them to realize that there's nothing better than to live and give up their life for Christ's sake so they could gain life. And thank You so much for this time. In Christ's name, amen.